Cape Talk. Car Talk.
And coming up for just under 19 minutes to 3 o'clock, it's a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's on 0214460567. If you'd like to discuss the topics that we discuss, anything on the topics that we've been chatting about, you can give us a WhatsApp message on 0725671567. You can leave a voice note on 0725671567. If you've got that persistent and agonizing problem or car query that you would like to ask anything about, give us a call, 0214460567, and not sure whether you should trade in your old used car or whether you should get yourself a family car, what suits your needs and exactly what you should be looking for and how to cut back on that fuel cost. Each week we have a chat to Chira De Siena, and Chira is our resident motoring journalist with cars.co.za, and he is back again in the driver's seat to answer all car queries and concerns. So start sending in your questions right now to 0725671567. Chira, very good afternoon and welcome to the show once again.
Good afternoon. It's great to be back.
The following must be like, a match between Liverpool and Manchester United when you start comparing the Hilux and the Ranger. I believe you've done something similar to this in 2016 already.
Yeah, it's a sort of eternal competition, eternal rivalry, I suppose. And, Ford, for a long time, the Ranger was kind of an also-ran in this space. But with the latest generation and the 2016 and now the 2019 facelift, they've really taken the fight to Toyota and sometimes actually outsold the Hilux in this market. And that's a pretty incredible feat in and of itself, given how entrenched the Toyota brand is in South Africa and how well-loved it is and widely loved it is. So these are really some of the best-selling vehicles in South Africa. Somewhere around over 3,000 units a month per brand gets sold in this country. We really are bucky mad. And we just did a huge video on it for our YouTube channel. And the video is absolutely flying, which really does give you an indication of how much interest there is in this comparison. And I suspect that if you are interested in a bucky right now, there are probably about six double cabs on the market to choose from, but you're probably either looking at the Ranger or the Hilux. That's pretty much the simple fact of it. And I suppose to summarize, we can go into much more detail, but the Hilux has less of a shorter warranty. And the Ranger, in my opinion, is better value for money. But, cars are a little bit more complicated than that. And, of course, reliability issues have to come into play and into consideration. And in that sense, we have the Carzokoza Consumer Awards, which is powered by data from tens of thousands of South African motorists. And currently, Toyota is actually our brand of the year, and part of why they're our brand of the year is because people rate their after-sales experience and rate the reliability of the vehicle. So, in my opinion, in summary, the Ford is actually the better product and the bucky I'd rather live with on a day-to-day basis. But, that isn't the only consideration when buying a car. And we try to cover all those points in the video and in our article as well.
You compared the Ford Ranger 2.0 4x4 XLT automatic, and you compared this with the Hilux 2.8 GD 6-rated 4x4 manual. Let's run through this very, very quickly. How does the interior of the two vehicles compare? Because these days, you're on the road quite often. If you have a bucky, you'd like it to be comfortable, and you'd like it to be most of the controls to be accessible to you.
So, I suppose there's a couple of facets to a good interior. One is general cabin space. In that regard, the Ford wins by quite some margin. In terms of front seat comfort, I would say pretty much a dead heat. In terms of rear seat comfort, a bit better for the Ford. In terms of sort of build quality and quality of materials, a bugbear I have with the entire Ford range is that the plastics they use on the dash and the fascia and the touch points tend to feel and look a little cheaper than the competition. But that's not to say that it's not all well screwed together. I think the build quality is probably about par as well. Where the Toyota lacks a little bit is in the infotainment system. So if you want sat nav, you have to go for the full top spec Raider model. Otherwise, you have to pay an extra. And one of the things that frustrates me, and it's standard in the Ford, and one of the things that frustrates me with the Toyota is that you pay about 70-odd thousand Rand more than for the two cars we compared, than for the Ford we compared it to, rather, But you don't get leather. You know, you still have to pay an extra 12.5K ex VAT to get leather, and you still have to pay an extra 7.5K ex VAT to get a tow bar. And pretty sure you do want a tow bar on your Hilux. So, you know, again, it comes down to that value for money proposition. And in that sense, the Ford really, really runs away with it.
How does the engine performance, because that's the other thing, once you're comfortable inside the vehicle, you want this vehicle to be able to perform on the road. So how does the sort of engine performance compare between these two?
So on paper, it's a dead heat, 132 kilowatts in the Ranger, 130 in the Hilux, 450 newton meters a piece, actually. But interestingly, very different motors. So the Ranger only has a 2-liter single turbo, turbo diesel, whereas the Hilux has a 2.8. So that, you know, it's a 40% larger displacement in the Hilux. But to be honest, if nobody told you that there was that 40% displacement difference, I actually don't even think you'd be able to tell. And interestingly, when it comes to tow ratings, the car has, both vehicles have the exact same tow rating of 3.5 tons. So even though small engine, the Ranger, to be honest, when you're out on the road, it almost feels identical to the Hilux.
Chatting about cars this afternoon, we are chatting to Chiro De Siena from cars.co.za. If you have any queries or questions, if you own a Hilux or if you own a Ford Ranger, you're most welcome to give us a call on 021-440-6567. You can also send us a WhatsApp message to 072-567-1567. Now, we've had a look at the interior. We're looking at the performance, the engine performance, and most of this obviously is on paper and it looks all good. How does the Ford Ranger compare to the Hilux in terms of the ride and the actual handling on the road?
To me, you know, the issue with Bucky's in terms of the ride quality that they can offer, say, compared to an equivalently sized SUV, is that Bucky's are a ladder frame chassis. So the body and the chassis are essentially two different items bolted together. And that's why you get that sort of jiggle on rough surfaces in a Bucky that you wouldn't get in what we'd call a monocoque or a unibody SUV or road car. So manufacturers of Buckys try very, very hard to get around that. The reason you want a ladder frame chassis is because it's extremely strong and can handle massive loads. So you can't get away from that. However, when it comes to a sort of car-like experience, again, it's got to be the Ford. And, you know, me and my sort of fellow Ford journalists at Cars of Koza all agreed unanimously on that, the Ford is just the better car to drive every day. And also where the Ford really shines as well is with the new 10-speed gearbox. And it remains to be seen whether it's a particularly reliable unit, because Ford have had gearbox issues before. This is a brand new gearbox developed in partnership with General Motors, funnily enough. And it's the sort of gearbox where you don't really know it's there. And for me, that's the best kind of gearbox. You don't want to feel or know that the engine is, that the gearbox is managing the torque. You just want it to do its thing and not sort of not bother you. And that's what the Ford does really well too.
Chatting about cars this afternoon, and we are chatting and comparing the Hilux and the Ranger, the Ranger 2.4, as well as the Hilux 2.8 GD6 Raider, Ranger, comparing the two of that. But you know, Chiro, normally you don't buy a Bucky to be climbing pavements in the CBD or in the city, or just parking on the garden and on the grass when you're going for a school meeting. There's an off-road ability which really makes the difference when you're buying a vehicle like this.
I think that's a big consideration for people. You know, you can opt for a 4x2 Bucky, obviously, if you're not particularly interested in going off-road. And I was really lucky to test both cars on the Falkenlechen off-road facility, which is a set of incredible trails up in the mountains just before Stellenbosch. And also, to be honest, a bit of a dead heat for me. Frustratingly, we couldn't get our hands on an automatic Hilux, so I had to compare a manual Hilux to an auto Ranger, and that's a particularly important difference, especially when you're off-road. So it was easier to manage the range off-road, so I didn't have to think about the gearing and the engine speed. But at the same time, I thought it was pretty much a dead heat. I think those two cars would keep up with each other pretty easily off-road.
And looking at the price and what is most important when you're buying a car these days, because there are also warranties and extended warranties. And I know that, you know, you've got Toyota, which is they're very, very good with their warranties. So how do the warranties and the price compare between the Ranger and the Hilux?
So 3 year 100,000 on the Toyota, 4 year 120 on the Ford. But interestingly, the service plan now on the Toyota is measured not in terms of a year limit and a kilometer limit. It's actually measured now as 9 services or off the top of my head, 100,000 Ks or whatever comes sooner. So that's also an important distinction to understand. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Toyota is the first manufacturer to go to the South African market with a service count in their service plan rather than a service limit in terms of time or kilometers. So 9 services is you know, plenty to keep your car in tip-top shape for 3 years. But, you know, in the Ford, you're getting an extra year and an extra 20,000. And for the price, 580 for the Ford, about 650, 660 for the Toyota. And then by the time you add leather, tow bar, et cetera, you're looking at a price difference of around 90K for the two cars. And that's a fair whack of cash.
The thing is actually is that normally they would offer you at you know, you can actually purchase, they give you the warranty for the first 4 years or 3 years, but I know that you can sometimes purchase an extended warranty. Any offers of an extended warranty of any on any of these vehicles, and how expensive is an extended warranty on them?
So from what I understand, there's no set fee or figure for an extended warranty. And from what I understand, the manufacturer or the dealer will offer you a warranty extension based on the mileage and condition of the car. So they obviously have algorithms and formulas, which they punch in some variables and it spits out a rand price, which they offer to you as a quote on, say, a year or a 2 year extension on the warranty. So, you know, the lower the mileage on the vehicle, the better condition you keep it in, the cheaper it is going to be to extend your warranty, generally as a rule of thumb.
And generally the service intervals on both of these vehicles, 15,000. I know diesel is normally about 20,000. What are the service intervals?
I don't have that data in front of me, but I think the important thing is to remember that you must stick to the service intervals, whatever they're prescribed to be, because if you don't, you risk avoiding your warranty. So it's important to be cognizant of the service schedule. Dealerships are pretty good at reminding you when to come in for a service. But yeah, I've actually just experienced this on the Suzuki that I own. I decided to service it privately and I lost the warranty, and that was a choice I had to make. But you know, it's critical to stick to your service plan. You really, really have to. And because to be in a modern car these days without a warranty is potentially a slippery slope to bankruptcy or something close to it, you know. Yeah. So keep an eye on that.
A number of people don't realize that the vehicles they're driving, the engine could cost you anything between 40 to 60,000 rands and sometimes even more than that. Are talking about, you know, a Ford Ranger or you're talking a Hilux, you're looking at just, what, probably over close to 100,000 rand. We've got a WhatsApp message that's come in and the person says, I want to buy a small Haval. Any comments? And I'm seeing more and more of these Havals on the roads.
Haval is, as a company, they are really, really gaining traction in this country. There's sales figures off the top of my head. I think they're selling more cars than Honda now. They're selling more cars than Mitsubishi, if I'm not mistaken. They are really the first Chinese manufacturer to establish a beachhead in this country and grow. And it's on the back of great products. The H2, the small SUV, is well-priced, well-specced, 5-year warranty. The H6, which I've test drove, I rate very highly, and it's a good sort of 100, 150K cheaper than the competition, which is mind-blowing in and of itself. But I suspect the WhatsApp, the listener is referring to the Haval H1, which I don't have too much experience with, if I'm honest. I do know that the H1 was first sold in South Africa as the M4, and then it was rebadged. Now, whether that has an effect on, say, future value of the car is difficult to quantify or qualify, but it is something to keep in mind that potentially the car you're buying could be quite old. So it's important to ask when the warranty was registered on the car. That's really important information to ask. And that being said, you will get the 5-year warranty, and it's a fairly straightforward car. It's based on a lot of Toyota architecture and a lot of Toyota, sort of old Toyota blueprints as well. So Not necessarily a bad buy, but to be honest, if I was buying into the Haval brand, I'd go for the H2, maybe a demo unit or a second hand. I think it's a much, much better car. I think you'll be much happier every day with an H2.
Hope that answers your question. Another WhatsApp message coming in, Chirin. We're chatting to cars.co.za motoring journalist Chirin Diena about everything and anything that's happening on the market in terms of cars. And if you have a WhatsApp message, you could actually send us that WhatsApp message to 0725671567. Chirin, I don't know how well you know the Quantum VVT, but the question is, do you have an opinion on a Quantum VVT petrol as far as the fuel consumption goes?
So I've never driven one, but I've been in a few, you know, catching Quantums around Cape Town. for me, it's just a car like that. If I'm not mistaken, there's a petrol option which I suspect is the VVT, and there's a diesel option, and I just don't see really the point of going petrol in a car like that. It's big, it's heavy, it's designed to carry loads, and those are all factors which make diesel power make more sense, you know. And potentially what they're looking at is a secondhand one which potentially has high mileage, and if it's high mileage, then you know, and you're not too bothered about fuel consumption, then the petrol motor will be cheaper to maintain. Parts for the petrol motor will be cheaper than the equivalent diesel. Diesel motors are not necessarily less reliable than petrol motors, but the components are more expensive, and there's potentially less people willing to work on it as well. So those are all factors to consider. But if it's a straight up, you know, new car purchase, petrol versus diesel, Quantum, I'd go for the diesel.
Last WhatsApp message coming in off the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. Has your guest tested the new Ranger Raptor, and what does he think about it?
I have. I just finished filming it, actually, and it is a phenomenal vehicle. You know, just in terms of what you can do in that car, quite simply, you can do things in that car that you just cannot do in anything else on the market, you know, in any other car in South Africa. Well, especially in a car in South Africa, which gives you a 4-year warranty. Maybe in sort of Kaniel de Villiers' Toyota Hilux Dakar, you could potentially do some of the stuff that I did in that Ranger Raptor. But yeah, you know, a fairly expensive exercise, close to 800 grand for the Raptor. But it's been developed, you know, the suspension system particularly and the chassis have been developed by Fox Racing in the USA to cover ground at extremely high speed and to handle big jumps as well. And if for some reason you have the space and the inclination to do off-road racing, then yeah, the Raptor's a good car for you.